This episode was created on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic people. CFUV has been around for over 30 years. In that time, we have worked with many radio hosts, all with their own unique experiences and stories. I'm setting out to find how CFUV has affected its community and to get an inside story on CFUV's DJs. I'm Max Monday, and this is Behind the Mic. Today I'm interviewing Janine of Winds of Change, among other things. How are you doing today?
I'm really good today, thank you, Max. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Janine got her start at CFUV when she began co-hosting a public affairs show with Jack Etkin.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's where it all began for me here at the station. Actually, Jack was co-hosting with Rick Habgood at that time, and the show was called No Name News, as I recall. Yeah, I think that's right. I might have that incorrect. Jack and Rick did this show for years and years and years. And one day, I think I met Rick somewhere or something, and I was involved with publishing a Left Coast events list. So I was sort of doing online media that was kind of new at that time. Mm-hmm. We'd all just kind of got our emails, and so it was fun to share event information. And he invited me onto the show just to kind of listen in. But it didn't take long before I was invited to, you know, share questions for our guests. And then, of course, I got addicted to radio, and the station is very supportive, as you know, of people who are willing to volunteer here and then get trained to become a co-host or a host of their own.
That's how it felt to be alive.
With Left Coast News, so you said that was at the beginning of the having the internet and having emails and stuff. What was that like?
Yeah, that was pretty revolutionary. You know, just the idea that we could, instead of like having to phone people to invite people to meetings and try to organize rallies and stuff like that, we suddenly had this new thing. But I noticed that there wasn't a lot of people making use of this communication method. They were sort of using it within their own groups. And then one day I received an email from someone I can't remember who sort of showing three or four different events that were happening, and I thought, hey, there's a good idea. So I kind of picked up that ball and ran with it and published the Left Coast events for several years, and people always told me how much they appreciated that and knowing sort of what was going on. And then I think it helped groups plan as well, so they could see, oh, this group has something going on that particular weekend, why don't we choose a different weekend? And yeah, it felt really rewarding to be able to do that for that community.
Janine's show, Winds of Change, has gone through many winds of change itself since she was originally given the green light for that program.
I started it as a poetry show because I was also invited around that same time as I got involved with the Rick and Jack show. Chris Cook invited me onto Guerrilla Radio to do an update of events. Mm-hmm. He thought that because, you know, CFUV, part of our mandate is to serve the community, the local community, and he thought that would be a good addition to his show to highlight some of the activism going on. So I've been doing that ever since in different time slots with as his show has moved as well, Guerrilla Radio. And then so I sort of was doing a lot of activist stuff, and I thought, well, I'll do something different. I'll do a poetry show. And so I submitted my proposal for that, and it was accepted. It was just a half hour show. And that was fun because I was an English major too. And I thought that way I could actually use my degree, you know, to some extent. And then I don't know what happened. I just, there's so much going on in the world, right? And Iraq was getting invaded and everything else. And I really wanted to feature the activism. Activism to me is, you know, these are the people that are really trying to shape the world in to make it a livable place that where we all can find peace and justice. And I guess I was compelled to go back to that and resubmitted my show proposal, and that was accepted. And then I got an hour time slot, and then I did an hour for several years, an hour every week. And then I was publishing the street news at the same time, and that just became kind of a lot. I was just like working too much. And so I talked to the program director at the time, Zeta, and she said, well, let's see what we can work out. And then coincidentally, a woman arrived at the station named Charity Hume. And I guess she kind of wandered into the station because she was an American who was here. Her husband was studying at UVic, and she was really frustrated with what her country was doing. And she wanted to provide some information on what the peace activists were doing, specifically around peace issues. And she had gone to the other radio stations, and they said, oh, well, you go and you take this 2-year course, and then you come back, and then maybe. And so she was like, no. And she found CFUV, and so Zeta phoned me and said, you know, what about this? How about if you had a co-host? So I thought, yeah, that sounds great. So Charity and I did the show for, I think it was 2005, 2006, while she was here. And then they moved back to the States. It was very sad. But, you know, life goes on. And then I was moved into a every other week time slot. And I share the time slot with Mehdi Najjari, who does a really great show called The Hidden News. Mm-hmm. He also got his start with Rick and Jack, by the way. Rick was really good at recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You work very closely still with Chris Cook, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're good friends.
Yeah, what's the relationship there? How is it to have two spoken word shows, like two, I guess, alternative news shows together but apart?
Yeah, and Mehdi as well. I feel like the three of us cover similar issues. Mehdi and Chris tend to do international stuff. And Chris has really, I mean, if you look back in the archives of his show, he's had some incredible guests. And the amount of research that he puts in, and he knows the names of all the sort of the players in the political scene. And it's all about money and war. And it's, you know, I focus more locally is my kind of thing. And often, sometimes internationally, but often I want to showcase what people are doing, like what actually they're trying to accomplish, you know, whereas I think Chris tends to kind of analyze what's going on and from a perspective that we're not hearing in any other media. And my kind of thing is more about, okay, well, how are people, what do they want to build otherwise? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was an ordinary mother in 1932. My husband out of work and more.
Do you ever have any pushback from anyone in the community saying you shouldn't be doing this?
Wow, no, not explicitly. Somebody said that to me one time about, they were from, I think, Czechoslovakia, and they said, you know, in my country, back in the communists, under the communist, well, so-called communists, I don't really consider those communists, but, you know, they were afraid to speak out or anything. He sort of said, aren't you afraid? And I said, well, no, it's not like they're going to throw us in jail. What they do is they keep us poor. That's what I feel. That's how they manage to keep activists down is, you know, I mean, is just there's... It's, you can't make a living at it. I mean, we do this here as volunteers because it's a labor of love and we love doing it. There's not a big fund of capitalist money for the work that we're doing. So that's kind of, I've never explicitly had, I did get hate mail for the street news, a little bit of hate mail for the street news. I received it, came back shredded up with a note saying this is all crap and you shouldn't be doing this. But, and that was a bit scary, actually. I mean, being a single woman in the community, it never came to anything, thankfully. I have had voice recognition once or twice in the community, and that's kind of, and on a positive, in a positive way, though. And sometimes people will say that they appreciate the work I'm doing. So that's nice. Mostly, I like to do it because I want to feel like I'm involved somehow. I want to be able to say to my friends' grandchildren that, you know, this is what I did during that time to try to build a better world for you.
You've told me that you're very motivated to provide information to your listeners and fellow activists. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I've always been kind of had that in me that I want to be able to help people. And I really believe like education is the way. I have this, even with all the horrible things going on in the world, I have this faith that if people have the right information, if they have a lot of information, they'll sort through the truth from the fiction and figure out what feels right for them based on the true facts of the case. And the truth isn't just black or white. It's a rainbow of colors, and everybody has their own take on stuff, and everybody has their own experience. And so, you know, I mean, these are dire times that we live in. Some people call these the end times. I mean, if we don't get a grip on this climate crisis, you know, we could very well not be living on a habitable planet in the near future. And I think we still have a small window of time that we could make the necessary changes. So yeah, lately my latest thing is, you know, I used to think, oh, if everybody knew what's happening to the earth, you know, the devastation of the rainforests and all of that, then they'd get on board with this change, let's make change. And then I figured out that some people, they just don't care about that. And so now it's like, okay, well, everybody has to eat, right? We all have to eat. And animal agriculture, you know, it's not good for you, and it's not good for me, and it's not good for the animals, and it's not good for the earth. So that's kind of my latest bottom line campaign, and that I think everything comes from. I believe now that the violence in the world stems from the violence that goes into people's bodies at every meal, and that if we weren't consuming violence, it wouldn't express itself quite the same. And just the lack of resources and water is connected to animal agriculture. So it's, my focus has sort of shifted over the years, but to me, certainly personally, I've been able to make better decisions in my life based on having lots of good information. So yeah, okay. I like to share that.
And how does CFUV help you spread the word?
CFUV is just awesome, right? I mean, CFUV is one of many awesome radio stations across the country where we're not bound by corporate sponsors. We don't have to think, oh, if I have that guest, that might, you know, upset that corporate sponsor, or if I say this or that. We are completely free because we're publicly supported. You know, we're free to choose our own guests. I don't have to ask anybody's permission for what guests I choose. I can, you know, I've never been reprimanded for anything that I've spoken with about my guests, and nobody said, oh, you know, you should really tone it down a little bit or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, we have certain guidelines. We can't, you know, there's no hate speech or that sort of thing, which I wouldn't get involved with anyways. But CFUV is so important, and I'm just really grateful to all the people who support the station in all sorts of different ways so that we can continue doing this.
Why is it important to have campus community radio stations like CFUV make time for alternative news sources?
Oh, absolutely, because all the other news sources have an agenda. I mean, they really do. I mean, we have an agenda too. I have an agenda. It's I want to live in a world where there's peace and justice, and that's really my motivation. Other stations are motivated by whatever their personal thing is and whatever their station thing is, and that's usually dictated by where their money's coming from. So, I mean, and not just for public affairs, for music. I mean, CFUV does an incredible job, and other campus community radio stations, cooperative radio stations, in promoting independent artists and making sure that they have airtime, right? That doesn't happen on the commercial stations either. And I don't want to sound like I'm just putting down those other stations. I guess they serve a purpose, but you know, it's important to realize that we're all bound by money. I mean, we all would be living different lives, I think. We would be doing something different in our life if it wasn't all about how do we get enough money to do what we need to do. So the fact that CFUV, again, I'll just say it again, is publicly funded, and our listeners support what we do. You know, if our listeners en masse came to us and said, this is not good, you can't be doing that, then we would listen to that, right? But mostly we get support, and whatever we're doing, bringing these independent alternative voices to the airwaves is appreciated, and that's why we do it. Soon I will be done with the damn.
Soon I will be done with the world, with the troubles of the world. Soon I will be done with the world.
When it comes to informing the masses on overlooked injustices, Janine plays an important role in the Victoria activist community. She puts her time and effort into making the world around her a better place to live. We will leave you today with Occupy by Rising Appalachia. This episode of Behind the Mic included a conversation with Janine, host of Winds of Change, which airs every second Thursday from 11 to noon. For more episodes of Behind the Mic, check out your favorite podcast provider or visit soundcloud.com/CFUV.